This is coming from Matthew 2, verse 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired to them where the Christ was born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. And from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him. And listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before or went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Hello, children. My name is Armin.
Hi, Armin.
Of Ecbatana. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's a city in Persia. All right, I want to tell you a little bit about the land of my people. We are a mighty people. Okay, we are Persian, but in our history, we've learned warfare from the Medes and the Greeks. So we are a very mighty people. And I want to give you a little bit of a history lesson. We are always a threat to the Roman Empire. Okay? Have you heard of the Roman Empire? Yes? All right. So just to give you a little lesson, we have different fighting tactics. Okay? Romans would do siege warfare where they would surround a city and just slowly wait. And people would... They would run out of food and water, and that's how they would take over a city. What we would do many times is fight with horses. Okay? Have you heard of the Parthian shot? Look that up. Google that sometime. It's pretty cool. Okay? So we have different fighting tactics. So we would win a lot of battles against the East or the West, and the West would win some battles against us, and we were kind of always at odds with one another. And I want you to understand that Rome's eastern border, okay, the way you're looking at me, Rome's eastern border here and our western border kind of almost overlapped a little bit. And you know what was right in the middle? It was a land called, anyone know? Israel, right there. Okay, so it's kind of where things met a little bit. And are you guys familiar with the Jewish priests? Have you heard of them? Boy? Have you heard of the Jewish priests? You haven't?
Yeah.
They were called what? Do you know? No, the one of the 12 tribes of the Jewish people. They make jeans out of them now. Levites, right? Okay. That was a joke. I've learned your culture. But the Jewish tribe of priests was called the Levites. In my people, we had a family tribe as well, okay? Our tribe was the priests, but we didn't call them priests per se. We called them magi. Have you guys heard of magi? Now, I've studied your language quite extensively, okay? You have some words that come from this old ancient word magi. Magic, magician. Have you heard those things? Yeah. Okay, so you can kind of get an idea. What is magic? It's using influence, right? To kind of make you think a certain way. Well, that is much of what we did as a people. We were very knowledgeable in science, mathematics, agriculture, history. We were especially skilled in astronomy and astrology, the study of the planets and the stars and things like that. We were actually the first to develop a functional theory of the planets. That was the Magi, okay? We are like wise men, all right? Another thing you have to understand is we also had the skill to interpret dreams, okay? Have you guys ever dreamed and you wake up and you wonder, what was that about? Well, many times Magi would be able to interpret people's dreams and influence them in a certain way, okay? So, we had the power of influencing through science and religion. Have you guys also heard the phrase, the law of the Medes and the Persians? Much of that was based on the foundation and the teachings of the Magi, okay? If you read in your scriptures, we actually pop up more than just in the story I'm going to tell you, but it might not say the word Magi. It might say magicians or enchanters or sorcerers or things like that. We've had many different nicknames over the years, okay? So we influence many people. We are also kingmakers. What we do is we seek the signs in the sky to determine who would be the next king. We also train and teach kings. We teach them how to rule and the ways of our people and things like that. We would also counsel many kings, okay? And we would do this in many different places. We even have some Magi as far in the West as Athens and Rome. So, I want to tell you another historical lesson. There was a time in Magi history where we were almost completely destroyed. And this story is actually in your scriptures. Did you know that? It's in the book of Daniel. Okay? Do you guys remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar having a dream? Do you remember what the dream was about? When he first had it, he called all of us Magi to come in, and he said, I just had a terrible dream. I need you to tell me what it was and what it means. And we're pretty good at influencing and interpreting dreams. We've done it for many years. But to know what the dream was itself without him telling us, how do we know that? None of us knew. And he said, if you cannot do that, I'm going to kill every one of you. And we were afraid our tribe would be wiped out. All of my people, all the wise men would be wiped out. And then the Jewish God used a man named Daniel to come. And he interpreted, or he spoke what the dream was, and he interpreted the dream. And it saved us from being killed. And if you remember the dream, does anyone here remember what it was? Yes? There was a statue, yeah? Okay, you're very close. So you're doing good. There was different metals in this statue, right? There was gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay. Okay, and each one of those metals represented what? Do you remember? They represented different kingdoms. Okay, this history lesson will make sense, people. I know some of you don't like history, but so the gold was the Babylonians. The silver was the Medes and the Persians. The bronze was the Greeks, and the iron was the Romans. So just think, now in my time, who's ruling to the west of us? I said it before. Do you remember? The Romans. So we've gone through many of these different kingdoms, okay? And we remembered this dream that Daniel spoke of. So all of a sudden, we're getting to the place where the Romans are ruling. What kingdom's coming next? We're all anticipating a new kingdom coming, okay? So we'll keep that on the back burner for right now. But I also want to tell you another vision Daniel had that he taught the rest of us Magi. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So many of the Magi believe many different things, okay? Over many years, a lot of them turned back to astrology and the occult, but some of us held on to Daniel's teachings. We believed in Daniel's God. We've seen what he can do, and all the prophecies, we started to see some of them fulfilled. And there were some left, like this one I just read. We're waiting for this to happen. We're watching the sky, and we're waiting. We've been waiting for 600 years. And now I want to talk to you about what happened to me. I was watching the night sky. We study it all the time for many different reasons. But all of a sudden, in the sky, we looked up and we saw this most bright thing. And the only way I can describe it best is that it looked like a star. And we got excited about that, because of all the prophecies of the Jews that we had studied. We knew that things like this could happen. And when a star like that appears, it's time for us to make a new king. And it seemed like, when we talked to many others, that we were the only ones to see the light. Now, do you guys remember in the Jewish writings, when the Israelites left Egypt and they got to the Red Sea, what came, and the Egyptians started coming up behind them, what came in between the Israelites and the Egyptians? Do you know? No? Does anyone know? A pillar of cloud guided them, and fire, right? But when they were at the Red Sea, it does say this in the writings, in Exodus, it says, to the Egyptians it was darkness, but to the Israelites it gave light. So to one people that same thing was dark, and to others it gave light. And it was almost like that was happening with us. No one was making a big deal about this star, but yet we could see it. It was illuminating the whole sky. We knew something was happening. And we'll talk more on that later. But several of us decided to go out on a journey. We considered the cost of this trip. It's a long way to where we saw the star. But we had faith in our hearts to go. We had faith in the scriptures of Daniel's God. Now, I've seen your guys' picture of the Magi. I seen it on, what do you call them, Christmas cards? You guys got it all wrong, okay? Many of the pictures, it just shows three guys on camels, okay? Don't think that way. You guys, I'm glad you didn't sing that song. We three kings? We're not kings, we're kingmakers. And there wasn't three of us. Did you know that? Did you know that? Okay. Well, what I want to tell you guys, does anyone here want to know the exact number of Magi that there were?
Yeah.
We like keeping that a mystery. So I'm not going to tell you that. And we as Persians, we do use camels, but we are also really known for our horses. So I'll let you think about that as well. But think about this. We're going to make a really long journey toward the Roman Empire. We need to have protection. We can't just waltz over there. We need to have more people with us. So we had a band of soldiers to come with us to protect us. We had some servants coming with us. We were a big group of people. And we're going to look at something in a little bit. I'll tell you more about that. And maybe you'll believe me that it wasn't just three of us, okay? So we did not follow the star the whole way. It appeared, and we knew in our hearts we needed to go towards that direction. But it disappeared for a while. The sensible place to find the king within the great kingdom, and the great kingdom, Israel meets in the middle. Let's go to Jerusalem. That seems to be where the star was over. So we went to Jerusalem. It seemed like the most sensible place. And we didn't know exactly where to go. Well, let's go to the palace. That seems like a place where a king would be, right? Are you listening, boy? Right? Would a palace be a place where a new king would be? We want to come crown the new king and recognize him as king. So, I want you to know, when we came into Jerusalem, Herod was visibly troubled, right? And all of Jerusalem with him. Now, do you think a city would be troubled if it was only three guys coming in on camels? No, they were troubled because they saw we were Persian. We were coming from a different kingdom, and we're marching into Jerusalem, and we're making a statement. We're coming here to seek something. Okay? We are the king seekers. We are the king makers. And they're wondering, are the Parthians coming to attack? No, we're here to worship a baby king. And we ask Herod, where is this king? And we were shocked. Herod and his court didn't know about the Christ. They didn't know where he was to be born. We were a little disappointed. We thought they would be as excited as we are. And they had to look it up, and they found it in the writings of their prophet Micah. And Micah had written many years prior, he says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Bethlehem. That's only a few parasa away from Jerusalem. Do you guys know what a parasa is? Well, I met some shepherds on the way into Jerusalem, and one of the shepherds, Barnabas, he said he had taught you about it last week, but maybe you forgot. A parasa is a unit of measurement in distance. So according to how you measure distance, it's about 2.5 miles. So we're thinking, well, Bethlehem, that's not far from here. It's only a few parasa away from Jerusalem. We can go there. So we went, we were getting ready to go to Bethlehem, and Herod called us into his secret chambers. It was just us Magi and Herod. And he said to us, "When did this star appear?" Well, we told him. And Herod said, "Well, I want to worship this new king too. So when you go and find him, come back here and tell me who he is and where he is so I can worship him too." Now, we listened to him, but we did think it was a little strange. You see, Herod is not a very nice man. He had already killed his brother, his wife, his mother, and two of his sons. So we were a little suspicious, but he sent us on our way that night. We do have to recognize this is the authority of the region, and we're going to be respectful. But he sent us on our way. And we started wondering, what do we do? Do we start knocking on doors in Bethlehem? It's already late at night. We don't want to, you know, upset people. But as we left Jerusalem, guess what reappeared? That thing that looked like a star. And we were filled with so much joy. Here it is. It's guiding us again. Now, again, I want you to think, you guys have studied stars and skies and planets and stuff, right, too? How big are stars? They're huge, right? How does a star rest over a specific house so we know where to find the king? And what made me think, all we can do is describe it as a star, but maybe for you who have studied the scriptures, you know other things. It's more like the glory of God. Okay? Do you remember when that appeared in Exodus? Someone said it was like a pillar of fire guiding his people. When Moses went up Mount Sinai, when he came down, his face was glowing because he had been by the glory of God. And when I talked to the shepherds on our way, they said they also saw the glory of God appear to them. God's glory fills a place and shines, and it's like a star. It's so bright. You can't miss it. And it rested over the house. And again, it was as if we were the only ones to see it. Everyone we met, everyone we talked to, no one was making a big deal about this star. But we knew this is God's glory guiding us to the new king. So we came and we knocked on the house door. And there inside was a young couple with a baby. We fell down and we worshiped him. We knew when we saw him, this was the king we were seeking. And we brought gifts. We offered different gifts to him. We knew from the scriptures and the prophecies what gifts we needed to bring. We needed to bring gold because he would be the king. We needed to bring frankincense because he would be like a priest. And we needed to bring myrrh because he would be like a prophet. Although no one else recognized him, we did. The Magi, the kingmakers. And we left that night, and we all pitched our tents outside of Bethlehem, and we fell asleep. And we all awoke in the middle of the night. We all had a dream. Remember, I told you, we can interpret dreams, and we all knew what the dream was saying. Each one of us, Magi, had the same one. We knew it was God speaking to us. And he said, do not go back through Jerusalem and through Herod. Just like our suspicions were there, Herod would kill the child. So that day we were so filled with faith. We had faith that we had met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worshiped him in faith. And in faith we believed that God would bless him through the gifts we offered. Now you guys are familiar with the Jewish scriptures, correct? I want to read a few of them to you now and help you make some connections with the story I just shared that we went through. In the Jewish book of Numbers, this was written 1,400 years before my time. And there was an oracle spoken by a prophet named Balaam. And Balaam said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab, and break down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be dispossessed. Now I want to break that down for you guys, because it might sound a little bit weird. But it says, a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It's almost like this king, just like the star, the glory of God that we saw rise. When we read this scripture, we thought, well, that's a connection to what we just experienced. This is the king rising up out of his people. And it says, he'll crush the forehead of Moab. Moab, they were enemies of God and his people. Okay? And crushing the forehead, it made us think of the scriptures in Genesis, where the promised Messiah, God would one day send a promised Messiah who would crush the head of the serpent. Well, the serpent is God's enemy. And if Moab is God's enemy and God's people's enemy, it's almost like that picture again, where this king, this promised king, would crush his enemies. He would stamp on their forehead. And it also says, Edom shall be dispossessed. Do you know what dispossessed means? Boy in the green shirt? It means what you have will be taken away. Okay? Edom shall be dispossessed. Do you know who we met on our journey that was an Edomite? Herod. And it was just another connection to the scripture that we had. He's not the real king. It will be taken away from him. The real king has come. The Jewish prophet Isaiah also wrote this 600 years ago. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yahweh will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They gather all together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of Yahweh. So there's some nations in this prophecy. Midian and Ephah, people would come from the east. And Sheba, people would come from the west. And they would come and they would worship this king. Nations would come to worship this king. And we came from Persia. We're another nation. We came to recognize and worship the King. We were the start of the nations coming to this King of Kings. And I have faith that the Lord has brought many nations to himself, even to your day here. Do you agree? We heard the good news of the birth of the Messiah was first proclaimed to Jewish shepherds. When he was born, God's glory appeared to Jewish shepherds. And then the good news appeared to us magi in a way that we would understand. Through the night sky, through dreams. The good news comes first to the Jew, and then it came to the Gentile. Yahweh is such a good God to extend salvation and peace to all peoples. And we came to worship him, and I invite you to do the same.